From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Hi, and welcome to another John Hannam Meets archive. Today, I'm going right back to 1994, when John Hannam Meets was on Isle of Wight Radio and Medium Wave in those days. My guest today is Michael Sheard, best known by millions for playing Mr. Bronson in, of course, Grange Hill. So, we're going right back to 1994 for Michael's first of many appearances on my chat show.
John Hannam Meets from the archive.
Well, first of all, good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon,
everybody.
An incredible career, but let's get sort of Grange Hill out of the way. You were in that for five series, really, weren't you?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Which is still being repeated on Sunday mornings?
Yes, we haven't quite caught up with ourselves yet. I mean, it hasn't quite caught up with me. But yes, it's great. It's going out on Sunday mornings now as well.
Was that something you enjoyed for that period?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was a marvellous opportunity to concentrate on a particular part and get really inside said part and develop it possibly more deeply than if you're playing a part just for one episode or one film or whatever. No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. First time I've ever done it, i.e. play a part for a long period of time, but very enjoyable. Lovely company, lovely people, lovely BBC.
And not wearing your wig this lunchtime.
Well, if you remember, John, he finished off in the series not wearing his wig.
Yes, he did.
Anyway. So, oh no. Although my wife, bless her, has just done a painting of Mr. Bronson and, of course, the wig and the blue pencil, which hundreds of people used to write to me and say, oh, that blue pencil, it has to be there every week, and so on and so forth. And I have very fond memories of Mr. Bronson, of Morris, and I loved him dearly. I really do. Still do.
You were nasty, really.
He was a dinosaur. He was of the old school. If you remember, there were three schools amalgamated, and he came from your posh school, and his main subject was Latin, but of course they didn't teach Latin at some silly old school called Grange Hill, so he had to teach French. He was a strict disciplinarian, certainly, but underneath it all, he was very nice.
Tell me the lovely story recently when you ran into some kids outside of a school.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, what is it, West Street in Ryde? I happened to be walking down West Street just as school was coming out. And there's a small gate in the wall. You can hardly see it as you're approaching it. But just as I got there, this gate was flung open and a whole lot of children piled out and this little lad bumped into me, turned round, and without blinking an eye, he said, "Oh, sorry, Mr. Bronson." Which I suppose, because it's 5 years since I left the series, you know, and so I think dear old Morris made his mark.
Just before we leave it, you actually came to the island to film, didn't you?
We did. That was my last series. Every series, they used to, well, during half term, really, they used to pop off to, oh, various parts and do a couple of episodes away from the school itself. I believe the one before the Isle of Wight one was done on the canals and this sort of thing. And yeah, it was lovely because I already had a place over here, so I was able to stay in my own place and they had to stay in a hotel.
I want to take you right back to when you were at school. You wanted to be a farmer at one time, didn't you?
Yes, but that was, I think, when I was about 10 or 11. My father was a minister of the Kirk in Scotland, Aberdeen, where I was born and brought up. and some friends of his had a farm, oh, way up north somewhere, I can't remember exactly where. And one summer, for about 2 weeks, and this is probably the real reason, I went off there and worked on the farm. But I think the real reason I wanted to become a farmer, or decided that I might like to, is because I got to drive the tractor. And I rather enjoyed that, little lad of, 11 or 12 or whatever, driving this tractor was great.
You ended up at RADA, though.
Well, yes, I did, because, you see, I came south to finish off my schooling. I had the chance to go to the Glasgow School of Acting, or RADA. And I don't know, I just felt that it would be better to try and have as broad a base as possible from which to start. I've got wonderful chums who live in Scotland, who work in Scotland, but I just wanted to have a wider, as I say, a wider base to work from, and I now tell them when I go back up there to work that if I'd stayed here, if I'd gone to the Glasgow School of Acting, it's rather like trying to earn a living with one arm tied behind your back, because I can now call myself an English actor, if you like, who, if necessary, can go back to Scotland and play Scottish parts and so on. But then I can go across the Channel and play German parts as well.
Yes, you
can. And you're going to ask me about that too.
Later, I am.
Yes, you are.
When you went to Perth in rep, what were your ambitions? What sort of dreams did you have as a youngster, really?
I'd like to say that I was very happy to get a job, but I got that job at the Perth Rep straight from RADA, and I'd like to say that, you know, one was happy, one realised that it can be a difficult profession to work in, and that I was lucky to have a job, but quite honestly, I had stars in my eyes, same as everybody else, and my ambitions were boundless, I think. It's a funny old thing, though. When you're working there in Perth or any rep or wherever it may be, the job you're doing at the time is really the most important. And when I met my wife in rep as well, actually, and in Perth, and when we came back to London, we naturally assumed that everything would just sort of progress from there, you know. Sometimes it doesn't. Not always, anyway.
1966 was a memorable year. England won the World Cup.
Mm.
And you made your first TV appearance.
That's right. Now, it's funny you should say that, because carrying on from this, coming back to London, I was very lucky. I got my first telly in 1966, and do you know what it was called?
Moonstrike?
Good. Just testing.
Oh, you frightened me then.
Because I had a script sent to me recently by an aspiring young writer who would like, asked if I'd have a look at this script. And without giving any secrets away, he, in this script of his, talked about a series made in the 60s about, I think it was science fiction or something. And he had called it Moonstrike. And it just makes me feel a little bit old when I had to say, well, I think it's jolly good, but there was a series in 1966 called Moonstrike, and that was my very first telly.
Amazing. You've actually not appeared live on the stage since the 60s, really,
no,
have you?
No. As I say, it's just the way the career has gone. My career has gone. I'm not ashamed of it. A lot of my fellows say, oh, I must get back to the theatre. But not me. I'm very happy to work in television, in films, or whatever. If the opportunity comes up, I will go back to the theatre. But I do find telly and films absolutely fascinating. And you never stop learning. You know, it's,
You played a German in a very popular TV series involving some guys from Geordieland. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Now, was that the one you were going to mention? I think it probably was. No, that was Alfieda's aim.
That's right.
Well, now, come on, say Alfieda's aim.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
No, that was great. That was a super part because I was involved, you know, when we were talking earlier about Grange Hill and having been in a series for 5 years. Well, I suppose the nearest I got to accepting a series prior to that was Alfieda's Aim Pet. I can't remember how many episodes I did, but it was great to come in and out of it and go away and do other things. I mean, I believe I'm right. Yes, I am right in saying I went to lovely Rhodes to do The Dark Side of the Sun whilst we were still doing Alfieda's Aim Pet, if you see what I mean. I sort of commuted to Rhodes and back, which was great. Well, do you want to ask me about the chaps in it?
Well,
because they were super, yes. I mean,
some have gone on to real stardom.
Kevin, for example. I think the series he did with John Thor. That's the one series I seem to have missed. Absolutely marvellous. I mean, John was at RADA with me. So it's sort of I certainly have followed his career. I hope he's followed mine. I think he probably has.
You're listening to John Hannam Meets, Isle of Wight Radio's original chat show.
Isle of Wight Radio.
On a lazy, maybe rainy, even blowy or snowy or hazy Sunday afternoon, John Hannam means meeting you.
Yes, my current guest is Ireland actor, actually, Michael Sheard, who's made 500 appearances on TV and appeared in 30 major movies, at least. Michael, what's the attraction of TV and movies as against the live stage, really?
Being able to spend most of your evenings at home. No, I'm joking. Well, as I said before, I there is a great attraction in all branches of the media, but I happen to have gone down the television film road so far and have been very happy and content. It is far more technical, for example. If I was playing a scene with you now, we're sitting opposite each other. When it came to your close-up, I couldn't be where I am. But you would still have to be looking
right
to this point. So we'd put a bit of sticky plaster on the wall behind. Or you'd look at the cameraman's nose, because the camera would have to be where I am. See what I mean?
Mm.
And I find that side bit fascinating. I really do. But it doesn't mean that you cannot create interesting, truthful, living performances. Probably more truthful to life, anyway, than you do on the stage, because on the stage it inevitably has to be a bit bigger. But who was it that, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it was Jack Lemmon, who had above his bed a little saying which said, little is good, less is better. And that was what he lived by, and I think that's probably what we should all live by when we are doing television and films. So the interesting thing is that you're always trying to bring it down, 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 down. And that's probably the most truthful performance you can get.
You've appeared in so many major series, really. Softly, Softly, Going Right Back, and Doctor Who. There isn't really much that you haven't been in.
Do you know, by the way, that Nicholas Courtney will probably pick me up on this, but apparently I have appeared with more Doctor Whos playing different characters than any other actor in the country. I think the only one I missed out on was dear old Pat Troughton, who is no longer with us, of course.
You were in Coronation Street for a while.
Yes, I played Emily's... I was going to say her boyfriend. He was her boyfriend, but I'm afraid he wasn't very kind to her at the end because his wife turned up. But I played her boyfriend. That was great. I very much enjoyed that. It's a marvel to me, and I'm full of admiration for, I was reading the other day, somebody's been in it for, I don't know, 25 years or whatever it may be, and they are still turning out, what we were talking about, truthful performances. And they're marvellous, they really are. I have nothing but admiration. And they always, you know, they're always putting 100% effort into it all. Yes.
How did they accept you? I mean, you were in it probably for 3 months, were you? Something like that.
Yes, something like that, yes. Oh, wonderful. I mean, they're troopers. I mean, they can't carry the show entirely on their own, you know, and maybe somebody was off on holiday, I don't know, but if somebody goes on holiday, they've got to bring a new character in every so often, you see, and that was why. I mean, they can't have poor old Emily. She may have had dinner with all the men, the regular men in the street. They've got to bring somebody else in, you know.
Also, Emmerdale Farm for a while, weren't you?
Yes. Well, that was oh, my goodness, I remember. I mentioned The Dark Side of the Sun. And I was... No, I tell a lie, because I very, very luckily did one film, one show, on Rhodes. The series, rather, or serial, I never quite know the difference between the two, was Dark Side of the Sun. Now, this time I was just about to go off to do a lovely film. If I'm jumping ahead and you're going to ask this, then I'll stop. But I was going to do a lovely film called Escape to Athena with everybody. Roger Moore, Telly Savalas, Stephanie Powers, Elliot Gould, dear Telly Savalas, who died when last week or something, and me. And just before I went out, I got this call from Yorkshire Television. And they wanted somebody to play the colonel. And it all took place on a golf course, or the main part of the story. And when we got there, it was snowing. Now, I do play golf. I do enjoy golf. But I have never played golf in the snow with a red golf ball. And that's how we did this. And there is a connection. Ooh, I don't know how long before Grange Hill this was, but I had just signed to do Grange Hill when little Toke Townley died. And I don't know, he played Grandpa or something. So it must have been, what, 6-7 years later, I suppose. And there were sort of rustlings at Yorkshire, and they were saying, who are we going to get? Because, never forget, nobody is indispensable. And they went back through the archives and came up with this character of the colonel. And I was offered a regular part in Emmerdale Farm about 3 days after I had signed to do Grange Hill. And I'm very glad I stuck with Grange Hill, although Emmerdale Farm was super as well, you know.
My favourite TV series was one called The Outsider when you were a printer.
Yes, it's one of my favourite too. Funnily enough, for Yorkshire Television,
yes,
again. And my new agent, lovely Anne Britt, has persuaded me to make up a compilation video of, I don't know, about 9 or 10 little excerpts. They can't last for more than about 10 minutes because people don't bother to watch them. But if you say it's 10 minutes long, the Americans might watch it. And I've picked a scene from that. That series to put on. That was a great series. And well, you're going to tell me I was very good, aren't you? Otherwise,
you
I'll
brilliant.
Tell you myself.
You were really brilliant. The whole cast was superb.
Yes, it was. It was.
I'm Fenella Fielding, and whenever I can, I listen to John Hannah Meets.
My current guest is actor Michael Sheard, famous for playing in things like Grange Hill, but also famous on the big movie screen for movies like The Riddle of the Sands, Escape to Athena, The Empire Strikes Back, Green Ice.
Holiday on the Buses.
Yeah. You even shot Omar Sharif, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yes. Yes, dear Omar. Oh, my goodness. That was supposed to be America, but that particular sequence was shot in Mexico. And I have never experienced heat like it. We got off the plane and a wall of heat hit you. and you were absolutely wringing wet with perspiration. And on top of that, how can I explain it quickly? He opens the door on Ryan O'Neill, who was also in it, and says, give us the jewels or whatever it was. And then the camera pans to the window, and you first of all see my silhouette with this gun. In order to be able to see it, they had to put banks of lights out there as well. So I had the sun and these banks of lights to contend with. It's not all easy going, put your feet up and just come out and do one shot. But just for a moment, can I just go back to something when you asked me earlier, you know, what is what's it like and developing a character? I think really the answer to that question is I just love doing it. So whether it's film or telly or theatre or records or voiceover or Meet John Hannam, it's all great fun. Now you want to get back to movies, go on.
They always cast you as a German, Michael, don't they?
Well, you see, everybody asks or says that. It is sort of true. That stems from a lovely film called The Mackenzie Break. Did you mention that?
I've seen it. Lovely film.
Well, that was certainly the first featured part I had in a movie, and he was German, and I do speak German, and the whole part was in German. I tend to wear lightweight specs, and I look fairly German. So, following on from that, I have played Himmler twice, and I played his Nibs twice. I mean, the last time I played Hitler was in...
with Harrison Ford.
That's
it?
Right. What was it called? Come on.
It was
The Last Crusade. There, yeah. I got it before
you. Yes, you did.
But yes, I do. But you see, you mustn't forget lovely little people like Charlie Shade in High Road to China. He was a great character, and he sacrificed his life for the heroine, Bess Armstrong. But he was also quite ruthless. I mean, he shot somebody through the head in that, you know. But yes, I have played a lot of Germans, or quite a number. I suppose the last, dozen movies, eight have been Germans.
You look very frightening on screen, if you don't mind me saying.
No, please, say it again. I look very frightening on screen when I am playing a frightening character.
Yes, you do, certainly do.
But again, my lovely wife will tell you that I have my little man, you see, and he is, this is dreadful, but we used to joke about, this time it's characterization 4C. It doesn't work like that, I promise you, because then if you did try to play your parts, just take it out of a drawer and pop it on, you wouldn't get the truth. But I do a very good line, listeners, in Little, Gentle, Sweet Men, who go around and they carry the cares of the world on their shoulders. I mean, I'm thinking right back now to things, and I don't know, again, you probably have mentioned it, but Dear Dixon of Dot Green was one of the... Oh, it was a joy to work with Jack Warner, bless him. And right at the beginning of my television career, although, as you quite rightly said, the first telly was Moonstrike, and I did a few Dr. Finleys around that time, they were doing something like 30 Dixon of Dot Greens a year back then, and I played the patrol cop, and I played the taxi driver. And then the producer thought, well, I suppose this guy can do it. And he used to ring me up and he said, look, we've got 3 episodes to go. Have you got a hat or something you can put on and come and play something else next week? Which was wonderful for an actor starting off in telly, wasn't it? You know.
I'm going to change the subject completely. Yes. Why the Isle of Wight? Why did you decide to move to the island, Michael?
Why did we decide to move to the island? We used to come over here with the children and bring a tent with us. And after a while, we liked the relaxation, I suppose. And we had a little holiday flat in Sandown, which we loved. And we used to live in Surrey at that time. And then when our youngest surprised everybody... No, that's wrong, Rupert. I shouldn't say that. I was going to say surprised us all by following his brother and his sister to university. We thought, let's move our main base over. And we love it. We really, really do love it. It's a lovely place to recharge batteries. And, like this last week, we have a little flat in London, I hasten to add, which somewhere I can rest my head if I need to. Mm. But I dashed and just caught the last train back because I'd far rather wake up here than there. And people are so nice.
Hi there. You're listening to John Hannam Meets, the Isle of Wight Radio original chat show with live interviews on the island by an islander.
Yes, my current guest is TV actor and movie actor Michael Sheard. You're actually a pop star. You're going to make a record.
Oh, dear. Oh, a lot of people will remember a character in Grange Hill called Ant Jones. Now, he was played by a guy called Ricky Simmons, and I hadn't seen Ricky for 6-8 years, and the phone went one day, and he said, "Michael, do you remember me?" And I said, "Of course I do." And he said, "Well, I'm not acting anymore. I'm in the pop world." So I said, "Oh, yes." He said, "Well, we've just got a new record contract, and we're making an album, and we need somebody to do some spoken words at the beginning of this record. And we wondered if you would be kind enough to do it." And I jumped at the opportunity. End of story. Because I can't remember what it's called, but if you invite me back, I will bring it with me.
You are invited back.
Right.
You've got a new company too.
Well, this is an extracurricular, if you like.
Right.
But things in the television world, they're diversifying so quickly now that small companies have the opportunity of doing at least a co-production with the big fellas. And yes, there are three of us, and we have a property called Going Strong. I don't know whether I should mention it yet, but of course I can, because why not? It's called Going Strong, ladies and gentlemen. Look out for it. It won't be upcoming, even if everything goes according to plan, until next year now, because the schedules are all filled for this year. But it is very exciting. The trouble is finding the time to get together and push it forward when you've got so many other things going.
Your memoirs are coming too, aren't they?
Yes, yes. That's very exciting, actually. Somebody thought it might be rather nice to look at the business from a slightly different angle. Usually you get very high, big-name so-called stars. But what about doing it from a journeyman actor's point of view? And Laurence Olivier, many years ago, said, "Well, of course, dear boy, we are all bum actors together." So I have called it The Memoirs of a Bum Actor. Or, and it happens to me all the time, people come up to me in trains and they wave their finger at me and they say, I know the face, but I just can't put a name to it. Which is a lovely position to be in.
Are you a German?
Yeah. And I didn't think. I sat down and I started sort of tapping away. And I'm in the middle of the second draft at the moment. And I've loved it. Because I have met so many, many super people that we will talk about next time, John. All the ones we've missed.
What's in the offing?
Well, now that's, I'm not a superstitious chap, except that I will not have the unmentionable play mentioned in my house, or if you do come in and talk about the unmentionable, you have to go outside, turn round 3 times, spit, swear, and knock on the door and ask to come in. And the other thing is that one does not talk about upcoming jobs, engagements, until you've actually signed on the dotted line. But I will tell you this much. There is a movie, and, would you believe, another television series. And I believe, and I will mention Poirot. You take Poirot. I can't speak
Poirot.
French. Thank you. I believe there is a script for that in the post, he says very grandly, for my consideration. Again, when I come back, I will tell you all about them, and I'll probably be in the middle of doing them anyway.
Michael Sheard, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much,
John,
for
it has been absolutely super. And hasn't it gone quickly?
It has.
I can't believe it.
So you will come back another day?
Yes, I would love to. I would love to. I've really had a ball.
And it's a pleasure to have you living on the island. Great.
Thank you very much.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannamade. That's right.
Such happy memories there of an interview I did back in 1994 with Michael Sheard. Michael was so great to talk to. He was a chat show host dream because he just never stopped talking, which was marvellous. I remember going on one occasion to a dinner party held by cinematographer Gil Taylor, and my late wife and myself were guests, Gil Taylor and his wife, and Michael and his wife. And I just sat there listening, so many tales all the evening. It was absolutely wonderful. On another occasion, Michael rang me up and said, "Oh, John, I've got to appear on television reading some Tennyson poems on Tennyson Down on the Isle of Wight. Do you have a Crombie overcoat?" And I said, "Michael, I'm just a radio presenter. I don't own a Crombie, but I've got a black overcoat." He said, "Oh, that will do." So he borrowed my overcoat and it was seen on television. And he brought it back to my house and I was not in. And my son answered the door. Had the fright of his life. He was a Grange Hill fan. When I got in, he said, "Dad, Mr. Bronson's just dropped your overcoat in." Marvellous days. Sadly, Michael died in 2005, much too soon, at the age of just 67. He was great to know and has been missed by so many people in the business. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening.
Sweet man. Oh. Who was he again, dear?
John.
John.
Yes.
Yes, John.
Just John.
Hannam. Was it?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
Yes. What does he do?
He talks to people like you and me, dear.
Oh, I see. Mm. Yes.